Isn't it good to have the rain, anybody? Doesn't it make it smell so nice and kind of refreshing and kind of makes things? I think it's a good way to start the year. As I look at it, anybody want to say goodbye to 2018? Anybody glad 2018 is over? It's like, oh, what a year, I have this rule for me, and I messaged years ago on this, that there's no such thing as a good or bad day. There's no such thing as a good or bad year. It's just, you can't do that. How do you judge that? Do you judge whether it's good by how many good things happen, but then you have one bad thing? Judge it by how many bad things happen, you have one good thing. How do you judge that? It's like, I had a good year last year, but I lost my dad. Was it a good year or bad year, But then what I want to think about this morning is, is anybody ready for 2019? Are we comfortable going into 2019? Or is there a little uncertainty in our lives? We look around, I've been watching this, and that they closed out the year, and I got a report on my pension plan, my retirement. And everybody says the economy's doing really well and my retirement is taking a plunge. Anybody in that boat? It's like, you say it's doing good, and yet what's going on, And we look around. I go to Sears during Christmas, and it's trash. And I find out Sears is closing. We have some people that worked at Orchard. And the economy's doing good. We read this, and then what's going on? In our world, we had hurricanes last year. Not just one, but a couple very destructive hurricanes, flooding. California had those fires. What do we do as we look at 2019 and, it's kind of goodbye to that. And then 2019 is, there's a study out there. Gallup did a study along with, I'm trying to remember who the other group was, and they did a study. And what it said was this: people are not as happy as they used to. They're not smiling as much as they used to. Sadness is on the rise. People are sleeping less and smoking more. Anybody? No, I hope it's none of you, okay? But how do we deal with the uncertainties of life? Am I going to have a job? What about the shootings of the place? Just right here in Southern California and the schools, I'm on the school board, and we make security. You go to the schools, and all the gates are locked now, and the security that we have there. How do we deal with life's uncertainties? And so that's what I'm going to talk about for the next few weeks. We're going to spend about 3 weeks, and we're going to talk about what do we do when the uncertainties of life. So this morning, if you look at your outline there, and it kind of got a title up there on the screen, it's bad news, good news, I don't know. But guess who does know? God. And God's saying this: I got this. Do you know that? God's got 2019 already taken care of. Anybody on board with that one? So that's what I want us to think about this morning. I want us to kind of go there this morning, that we live in a world of uncertainty. We have trials. We have struggles. We have joys. We have sadness. How do we approach this? And so what I wanted to do is kind of look at a parable this morning. One of the parables that Jesus spoke. Jesus had been teaching. He had crowds following him. He had showed great insight, and people enjoyed and appreciated his wisdom that he was sharing. And he was teaching about their scriptures, the Torah and the Old Testament that they carried around, that they understood. And he was expounding on those words, and people were hanging on his words and listening to his teaching, and not just his miracles, but his teaching. And on this occasion that the crowd had gathered around him, and somebody in the crowd yells out at him. And I got the scripture there, and I want you to look at it with me. So pull it out of your worship folder. You can find the outline. There's some blanks to fill in, and we'll just kind of walk through here. And I'm going to encourage you to write some things down, too, as we go through here. This is what this young man yelled out to him. Some in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." He's saying somebody had passed away, his mother, his father, somewhere something had passed away in his life. And now there's an inheritance. This guy's saying, "Jesus, tell my brother to do what he's supposed to do. Tell my brother to take care of the business." And you can read on in the story, and basically what happens, Jesus says, "Wait a minute, I'm not the judge, and I'm not an arbitrator. That's not my job. That's not what I'm here to do." And then Jesus goes into a parable. He goes into a story, because I've been there, and I've watched it. Somebody passes away, and how many of us could see families fight? Have you seen a family fight when somebody passes away? Don't raise your hand. You know, it's like, what's going on? And so Jesus goes to the heart of the problem. The problem isn't his brother hasn't divided the inheritance. The problem is he hasn't got what he thinks is his. You know, there's some uncertainty going on. And so Jesus tells this parable. So he begins telling the story. It says this, and he told the parable, the ground of a rich man yielded an abundant harvest. This is a rich young fool is what it is. And he tells about this parable that this gentleman had planted a large crop, and he had reaped a tremendous harvest. There was an abundance of stuff, and his crops had produced. And it had produced so much, his barns could not hold all that had been produced. He didn't have enough storage for everything that he had produced that year, and he's wrestling with, what am I going to do? How do I deal with this? I got so much now. I got so much now. What am I going to do with all that I have? I've accumulated all this. Now, what am I going to do with all of this? And so he kind of sits down. He's trying to figure out what to do. And he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear my barns down. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'll put it all in these barns. And then I'll just kick back, relax, and party, is what he said. And that's what I want to talk about. Because what happened was this. The guy had all these plants. He had it all worked out. He thought he had it all figured out. And then Jesus says this, and then the guy had it all worked out, but there's one problem. He's dying tonight. He had all these plans. He had life all worked out. He had it all figured out. But then he's going to die. Not party time, but awake time. His life's over. And Jesus said, now who's going to get all the stuff? You ever get life all figured out to have all of a sudden some uncertainties? Anybody? You get life all figured out. You got the pieces in its place. You know, you kind of pieced your life together. You know, my job and my family and my kids and, you know, right on down. You get it all figured out. Life's all kind of laid out. And then something happens and boom, it just blows up. Anybody have life blow up in your face? So how do we deal with life's uncertainties? And so what I want to do this morning, I'm going to pull out three S's in this guy's story. Three S's of uncertainty. I guarantee you, if you live with the S's, you will have worry, anxiety, panic attacks, depression. You'll have your life, if you live with these three C's, and that might be you, going into 2019, you will not have a good 2019. So what are these three S's? So I want to read it and then kind of step through this and give you three S's to watch out in your life. Because if you live these, you'll live in uncertainty and you'll live with worry. Here's what it says, Luke 12, 17 through 19. He thought to himself, what shall I do? All right, here's the guy, had this abundant crop. What am I going to do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store up my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, I have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be married. I'm ready to retire. He had it all worked out. He had it all figured out. Life's all outlined. It's all taken care of. But there's uncertainties. There's uncertainties. So here's three things I want you to notice in this thing right here. First of all, I want to put this. He was self-absorbed. All right? He was self-absorbed. And they give me a bad time about my words this morning. And that is a good word, okay? You know, it's going to be on the screen. And it's self-absorbed. This guy was self-absorbed. It was all about him. It's all mine. I got all this stuff. It's my stuff. And it's for me. It's the American consumer, right? Anybody an American consumer? Newer, bigger, better. Right? You know, I remember a time when you kept things until they broke. Now you get a cell phone every year because there's a new one. You got to go trade it in, right? You got a brand new, good cell phone. It works. But there's a newer one out. Guess what I want? You know? There's a newer computer out. Guess what I want? That's not the cell phone. I live with a cheap cell phone, but I want a nice, big, monster computer. You know? I want NASA kind of stuff. You know? So I want the new Surface. You know? Now it's Surface Pro 6. 5's not good enough. 4's not good enough. I want number 6. You know? Everything's for him. This is all my stuff. You know, some words I looked at as I read that. It's my barns, my crops, my surplus grain. It's mine. Anybody recognize that from Finding Nemo? Mine, mine, mine. It's all mine. It's all for me. Everything's for me. I'm going to consume it. It's going to consume me. It's mine. He was all self-absorbed. It was all about him. It's all about what he wanted, what he felt he should have, and it's mine. He was self-absorbed. I'm going to tell you, if you live with self-absorbed, you will have worry. Anybody on board with that one? You'll have anxiety. If it's all about you and you step into 2019, you're going to have some problems. How about the second S I put down here? I put this one, he's self-centered. Not only is it all for him to consume, all life is about him. Forget everybody else. I don't care if they're hungry. I don't care if they don't have enough. I don't care what they do. It's mine. It's for me, and it's all about me, and I'm going to take care of this, and you take care of yourself, and I'll take care of myself. I'm number one, and you don't matter. Does that kind of sound good? You see all the eyes in there? You count those eyes with me. Look at those eyes. Look what he says. I shall do. I have no place. I will do. I will tear down. I will pour up. I'll say to myself, I'll. He's got I-itis. All right. It's all me, and it's all what I've done. It's all what I've earned. It's all what I deserve. I'm the center of the world. Does that sound like America? You ever have this thing that goes, have it your way? Anybody? I'm going to go to Burger King and have it my way. Wasn't Burger King? Was that Burger King's commercial? You know, have it your way? I mean, you know, and we go there, and how many of us, you know, I'm going to go to McDonald's. I like McDonald's personally, but Taco Bell's number one. All right. Second is McDonald's, all right. You know, I'm going to go there, and I want a fresh one. You know what I do when I go to McDonald's? Because I want mine cooked right then. I don't want to get one that they had set on the shelf. So I go in there and say, no ketchup on it. Because then they got to make it right then. You know, because I want a fresh one. You know, I want it my way, when I want it, how I want it, and I want it now. Because life's about, I'm the one that matters. Ask my wife, she'll tell you, I'm number one. You know, I get the remote. You know, I watch what I want to watch. It doesn't work that way, just so you know. But you guys are all laughing because you guys know it's true, right? Come on. You know. But if you're self-centered and you're self-absorbed, you're going to have worry and anxiety, and there's some uncertainties in life. It's not going to go well in 2019 if it's all about you. I guarantee you what, life ain't all about you. I don't care who you are. It's not about you. How about this next one? I put this one. He's self-reliant. He's self-reliant. I don't need anybody. I don't need anything. I've earned this. I did it. It's mine. I did this. I worked hard. I sacrificed. I paid the price. It's my crops. It's me. He's self-reliant. You know, I don't need God. I don't need anybody. I did this. This is all about me. You see, these three S's can add to uncertainty. It makes life confusing. It makes life destructive. It makes life a distraction because it's me, and I'm self-absorbed, and I'm self-centered, and I'm self-reliant. Now, most of us are going to say, it's not me. Right? That's not you guys, right? That's nobody. Nobody is self-centered, self-reliant, and self-absorbed in here this morning, right? Don't raise your hand. We're not like that. But I'm going to have to tell you, this is something that I have to battle. I remember, you know, as I went through, I don't battle it as much as I used to, but I had this perception. I came from a low middle class family. That's my family, low middle class, and I'm going to go to college. We have no money to go to college. Nobody's going to pay for me to go to college. Nobody has anything. So I get married before I go to college. Isn't that smart? Yeah. Because then I got somebody else to help pay for it. See, I'm smart. All right. Yeah. And so we go off to college, and I work a job during the week, and then we work weekends. She has a job, I have a job. She works weekends, I work weekends. And we do all that. My brothers are buying homes and cars, and we go up there for a visit to our family up in Sacramento from Southern California, and they got all this stuff, and I'm looking at my wife and I, and we have nothing. I get a piece of paper is what I'm going to get. Yeah, a piece of paper, that's all I'm going to get. And I work, and we pay, and we walk out owing $200. That's all I owe when I finish school. No great college debt. Yeah, but we work for it. Went to Willits, pastored a church in Willits. I had three jobs when I pastored a church in Willits. Not just one job, not just two jobs. I worked You know, I pulled myself up. Anybody pull yourself up by your bootstraps? But this is what I realized. I started to think, well, if I can do it, guess what? Anybody can do it, right? But the problem is, I had it. You know what? I had God. You know, I didn't think about that for a long time. I thought I did all this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, I worked hard. You know, I worked 3 jobs. I mean, I sacrificed. We didn't do anything. We didn't go anywhere. I mean, a night out when you were in college was going to the pizza parlor, buy one, get one for a penny, and going to a $3 movie. You wait for Stater Brothers to put hamburger on sale because you're buying tons of hamburger to go with Hamburger Helper. And it was 59 cents a pound. You waited to go on sale for 39 cents a pound. And you'd buy a whole bunch. Yeah. And, look what I did. But I realized at some point, I'm sitting back going, you know what? I had an advantage. Because I had God. There's somebody taking care of me. That when I walk down the campus or at college and somebody pulls out somewhere, and you guys know the story, many of you have heard the story, that I'm walking down the hall going to look at the board for jobs, and some guy's walking down the hall and says, hey, go to this butcher boy place. They hire a lot of CBU, CBC students. Come from a Baptist college student. Say, okay, so I go there, and I guess what? They don't know anybody about CBC. There's nobody there from CBC. I never seen that guy again. I did it myself. Well, wait a minute. Is that an angel? I'm at college. I'm at seminary over here in San Francisco, Marin County, and I'm walking out of the administration building, and we just got there. We just moved in, and I got to get another job, and I'm walking down the hill, and some kid, I don't even know who the kid was. Still don't know who he was. The guy said, hey, you need a job? He said, I'm getting ready to leave. I've finished school, and I'm leaving. You want a job? Yeah, I want a job. You know, hey, call my boss. I called the boss. Guess what? I got a job. Now, how did that happen? Gary's so smart. Gary's so good. You think God was involved in that? You see, we think we're self-reliant. We think we're self-absorbed, and we're self-centered. And then you step back, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, wait a minute. Well, how can I get ahead and others can't? How come I can do this and others can't? Not because Gary's good. Gary's good for nothing, but not because Gary's good. Not because Gary's smart. Ask the worship team. They make fun of my words. I said, I look scrungy. They didn't even know that was a word. Look in the Urban Dictionary. It is. I'm not that smart. I mean, I come from just a poor middle family who's never went to college. My mom got her AA just 6 months before I got mine. And we see, we get so self, and if I live that way, guess what? There's uncertainty. What's going to happen? If it all depends on me, it all depends on what I do, how am I going to do this? How's this going to happen? I look back on some of the things Laura and I did. It's like, let's jump in our car, get married in June, jump in the car in September, in Southern California, with $600 in the bank and start college. Does that sound fun? That's real bright. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So here's what I'm going to say. You know, we live with these uncertainties, and we worry, and we get anxiety, and we stress about these things. You know, will I have a job next year? Will I be able to pay all my bills? Will I get sick? Will this? Will that? Will my business shut down? I mean, if somebody asked me 10 years ago, would Sears ever close? I'd say, I grew up with Sears. I remember Sears Christmas catalog was the best thing to get. Anybody remember Sears? Come on, show your age. See? You know? The old Sears Christmas catalog? I'll make it even better. Anybody remember the old Sears catalog nailed to the outhouse? Oh, come on! You used to nail the Sears catalog to the outhouse. You had a lot of paper. You don't want to be uncertain then, I'm going to tell you, okay? You know? But we worry about these things. You know, what's going to happen? And we look at our lives and, you know, where am I going to live? You know, what do you do when you're living in Little Salida and they're not building anything and nothing's going on, and your landlord comes over and knocks on the door and gives you a 30-day notice to move? What do you do? Where do you turn? You know, your landlord says, you got 30 days. You got to be out. I want my daughter to have the house. You always paid your bill. You know, you were never late. You know, there was no reason. Just, I want my daughter to have the house now. She's going to rent out the rooms is what happened. And I got a 30-day. You can't find anything in Salida. I'm going to tell you, there was nothing in Salida. I called the one place and, no, well, they aren't moving out yet. So I had a lot of contacts in Salida and say, call them. They're going to be moving. Well, they weren't moving out. So, but you know what God did? God gave me a place over by Perkins School over there on Gagos or Bluebird or one of those roads over there. I can't remember now. And so I had 1 month. The guy says, I sold the house, but I need somebody in it for 1 month. Pay first month's rent, last month's rent for 1 month. Okay. Yeah. But I go over there, and he needed work done on the house. Guess who could do the work? So I got to work on his house. He gave me my deposit back, plus my rent back, plus some extra money back. You think God did that? Yeah. Then I was able to move over here to a house. You know, finally into a duplex thing over here in Salida. Did I worry? I'm going to tell you what. I was worried. But God seems to come through. Do you ever notice that? And so I want to go to three C's, okay? We got the three S's. You want to screw your life up? Let me say it this way. You want life up, live with the three S's. Okay? I'm going to give you three C's because Jesus tells another parable. He kind of wraps this up. He kind of goes, here's this, but let me tell you this. Let me share this with you. And so he begins to tell another parable. And it has three C's in it that I want us to catch. Because it says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. And he starts telling this parable. And some of you may recognize the parable. He talks about how God clothes the flower with their beauty, you know, and how the beauty of the grass and the flowers. He talks about birds and how God feeds the birds and God cares for the birds. Do birds worry? You think birds worry? You see them shivering up in the tree. Where am I going to eat? I'm going to tell you, I know where the crows eat sometime. They eat around here because they drop the stuff. I was here yesterday and they dropped something on the roof and it goes, do. It's the weirdest feeling to be in this building. You hear the crows drop stuff on this building. But God said, God's going to take, what he's saying is, listen, God's got this. God has this. I don't know. Good, bad, I don't know. But God's got this. And so he tells this parable and ends with this. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Problem is, I don't know about you. I'm not going to talk about this right now, but I have a lot of wants. Anybody else have a lot of wants? Christmas didn't get my wants. You know, I didn't get everything I wanted at Christmas. You know? But one thing I know is God takes care of my needs. I have never not had a place to stay. It's been closed. You know, I'm down to 1 week. Day notice was down to 1 week before I found a place. I'm talking about, you know, kind of scary. So what are the three C's? Let me give you three C's to help you, all right? For 2019, here's these three C's. First one is, you're going to get these really good, Christ-absorbed. Instead of being self-centered, self-absorbed, be Christ-absorbed. Realize it's not all about you. I got bad news for you. I'm very blessed. I'm on a school board, and I get to associate with some people in the state and other places because of my position. And what's fun for me is this. Some of those guys, I'll say it this way. I wouldn't want to walk around in the rain with them right now because they might drown. They got their nose so high in the air. You know what I mean? They think they're so good. I've been around people who think they're so good. They're God's gift to mankind. And it's like, I can tell you something. You want to talk about degrees? I got degrees. Whatever you want to talk about. You know what my college paper and my master's and my doc, you know what those papers do for me? Nothing. I'm going to take that to Gary's Diner down here. Gary, feed me today. Here's my college degree. Ain't going to happen. No. that we need to be Christ-absorbed. Life is not about us, okay? It's about just me. I live in a world where, you know what? There's other people around me. Now, it gets easier as you get older. You know, anybody have kids, grandkids? Anybody worry about those? Yeah. How many of us would sacrifice for us so we can take care of our kids and grandkids? We'll do without. Well, that's the same thing for Christ. See, we need to step back. So here's what I want to write this word down. You put Christ over. Write the word remember down there somewhere. You want to be Christ absorbed? Remember what God has done for you. I shared some of the things God done. Gave me a job and gave me a house. What has God done? I want you to think. Take a minute. Can you think of remembering what God had done for you? Is there something that, you know, God, I remember when you know, that check came in the mail. Did you just get that check just at the right time? You know, you're wondering, man, what are we going to do? How are we going to make this work? What's going to happen? And that check comes. Or something, somebody knocks on your door just at the right time. Or how about this one? I've had this one. How about you're sitting in your car or you're sitting somewhere and you're hurting and you're wounded and all of a sudden a song comes up that speaks to your heart. He knows my name is one for me. You think God did that? I believe God does those things, okay? I really do. You know, I hate to tell you, but I think God controls radio stations sometimes. It's like, we need this song for so-and-so over here. The guy, I don't know what, I just thought, yeah, you did. God planted a seed in your head just to give so-and-so that song. You need to remember those things. What has God done? That's what really puts in perspective that it's not about me. It's all about Him. The next one I put is, what do you think? Christ-centered. It's not going to be Christ-absorbed. It's going to be Christ-centered. I'm going to center on God. My life is about what God wants to do. It's about God's purpose in my life. It's about God's will in my life. It's not about what wants. Gary wants a whole lot of things. It's like, I want this camera, but no, I really want this camera. You know, they came out with a brand new camera. It's only $2,900 for a camera. I remember I paid $5,000 for my first car. You know? Anybody have one? You know, it's like, okay, God, what is it you want? And so we need to be Christ-centered. It's not about me. There's a bigger picture out there. And we need to see God. So here's this, you know, I want you to remember earlier what God has done. Now I want you to remember whose you are. Okay? Who do you belong to? As you approach 2019, who do you belong to? Whose are you? Are you a child of God? His grace? His mercy? His love. I wrote this note down. I found this note, and did I write it down, or did I have to have it memorized? I think I have to have it memorized. It went along the line of, like, it's like this. God's going to say to us, why are you so worried? You're my child. You're not an orphan. You may ever feel like you're, you know, we're never orphans with God. God's all. So I want to ask, remember whose you are, okay? The last one I put down here is Christ reliant. I'm going to depend on Christ. I'm going to depend on God. God can do some things. God can do a few things. Is that right? God can do all things. All things are possible with God. My God will supply all my needs according to His riches in heaven. Let me give you a book to read this week, okay? I want you to start 2019 off right. So this week you need to go home and you need to read the book of Philippians, okay? Does that sound okay? Go read the book of Philippians. And remember this, Paul's writing that book when he's in jail. Because you'll find that verse, God will supply all your needs according to His riches. You'll find my favorite verse, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Isn't that good for next year, 2019? I can, whatever comes my way, you know what? I can get through it because of God. Isn't that good? Whatever happens this 2019, I'm going to get through this because of who God is. Not because of who Gary is, because who God is. I have any needs, guess what? God's going to supply those needs. God's going to take care of you. And I just got to get, and remember, and so here's what you need to remember: the promises of God. I'm going to challenge, memorize some promises. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Ask anything in my name and I will give it to you. Does it sound okay? So I want to challenge us. You know, we're coming to 2019 and we're leaving 2018 behind, and you know, we look and it's like good, bad, I don't know. But I do know this. God has 2019. God does. It's in his hand. And your life is in his hand. Not self-absorbed or self-centered or self-reliant. But because Jesus lives in you, you are Christ-absorbed, Christ-centered, and Christ-reliant. What a bit. That's the challenge for us. That's where God is, and that's what God wants. See, I did write this down. If you look down, you'll be defeated. If you look around, you will be distracted and discouraged. If you look up, you'll see God. What do you think? Think that's good for 2019? And so I wrote that word, remember. What are you going to remember? What are you going to remember? You're going to remember what God has done for you. You're going to remember you're his child. You're going to remember the promises he's made. I'm going to end with these two verses right here because I think this summarizes it real well. Again, Jesus is speaking. He said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Not self-absorbed, right? But Christ-absorbed. Take up his cross. Not self-centered, but Christ-centered. And follow me, not self-reliant. That Christ reliance. Does that sound good? And when you do that, this is another good verse to memorize. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. If you live with those three S's, I guarantee you, you will suffer this year. You will hurt. Heart attack, ulcers, anxiety, worry, depression. That's what the devil uses. The thief comes to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. But if you trust God, you will have a life. What's your choice? Remember, you're his. He's promised, and he has blessed you. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That you're not a God who wound the world up many years ago and just pushed it off and wished us well. You are a God who's intimately involved, not just in this world, but in each individual life. You're not just watching over a world. You're watching over hearts. And so, Lord, I lift these up to you. You know, as we're praying and we're going to God with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe there's some uncertainties in your life. And maybe you're not, you know, it has nothing to do with self, but you just need to let God know. And pray for those uncertainties. Would you just shoot your hand up and say, would you pray for me? Would you pray? Thank you. I see those. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these who struggle and wrestle. Lord, I ask you to give them a peace of mind, that you comfort their hearts, that you wrap your loving arms around them. They are your children, Lord. And there's life that battles, that pulls down. It's the devil himself, Lord, trying to steal, kill, and destroy. So I ask you to bind the devil. Send him to hell where he belongs and set us free and set them free to the abundant life of Jesus Christ. Let us focus on you. Let us turn our attention to you. Let us center on you, a loving Father who watches over his children. Pick up hearts, encourage spirits, open to the heaven, and pour out the blessings upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.